Hailing frequencies are open because this is Geek History Lesson Extra, and I am Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you are beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. Thank you.
And today's episode is going to be a review of WandaVision episodes 1 through 3. This will be a spoiler-filled review, so if you have not watched WandaVision on Disney Plus yet, you might want to stop this podcast right now.
Hey, welcome back. I hope you liked them.
Oh, you're saying that they stopped the podcast at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, or if you just don't care about spoilers.
Hello!
That's also fine.
Hello, person of hour and a half later.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit less than that.
Yeah, probably a little bit less than that. All right, so here we go. We're going to be talking about WandaVision. Full spoilers are on. I'm going to give you some overall credits here. This, of course, is directed by Mark Shakman, starring Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, and a whole bunch of some other people. The composer is Christoph Beck, who also did Ant-Man, a bunch of stuff like that. I've worked with Christoph Beck, fun fact.
On what?
On the Muppets, the Jason Segel Muppets. He was the composer of the Muppets, and I recorded a bunch of the DVD and Blu-ray extra features for the Muppets, if you're interested. If you ever see any of the stuff with the composer Christoph Beck on the Blu-ray of the Jason Segel the Muppets, I filmed that.
That was one of your first jobs, wasn't it? Or a very early career job for you.
It was
in LA.
It was within my first 2 years.
There you go.
So I will tell you, this is a fun digression. I was working with this company. A buddy and I were freelancing for this company. And the company was a management company that represented a lot of composers. And we got the call that we had to go film the scoring sessions for the 3 days. It was just me and him and two DSLRs. And we didn't know what it was. And then we got to Sony. And we met Christoph Beck. He's a lovely guy.
That's great.
Very nice guy. Looks like Guillermo del Toro, actually, in real life.
and I've met Guillermo del Toro in real life, so there you go.
Yes, he's like an American Guillermo del Toro. So they started the movie, and I saw Kermit on the screen.
And for any new listeners, big Muppet fans.
Yes,
here.
And so I immediately was like, oh my God, it's the Muppet! It's the Muppet! It's the Muppet! I was like, it's the new Muppet movie!
Wait, so an important...
I was doing like King Zog on Disenchanted. I was like,
an important side digression. We do know that the Muppets show, all 5 seasons, are coming to Disney Plus. So I'm gonna post this to our patrons. Hashtag GHL Muppets, yes.
What would it be?
I don't know, but we could do a cool discussion, I think. Okay. Adam Roberson is screaming right now into his phone.
I mean, I'm not against it.
We could do like maybe top 5 Muppets or top 5 Muppet movies.
I don't know if you can do top. I mean, come on. We all know what number one is.
Yeah, we table Kermit. That's okay.
We all know what number one Muppet movie is.
Oh, the Muppet movie.
It's the Muppet movie. Mm-hmm. There's no argument.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We could find some Muppet content.
Okay,
though.
We'll leave it.
We had a great episode on The Dark Crystal, so.
I love how everybody who came here from WandaVision is like, would you get to it?
Important Muppet sidebar.
You asked for extra, and this is the extra.
Could you shout out the showrunner? Because she's a very nice lady. Her name is Jack something. I'm sorry, I can't remember her last name.
Jack Schaefer?
Thank you so much. Yes. When we watched this first episode, in the Disney Plus description, they named the director and the showrunner, which is unusual.
No. They didn't name the showrunner. So here's the thing. We got to talk about this as two people who work in show business. Isn't that weird to say?
Yeah, well, it's true though.
It is true. Okay.
It's not weird to say. It's true.
No, it's just weird. I was like, oh yeah, we do. Okay. Anyways, and that is not meant to put a status above everybody.
No, it's just a
hey,
fact.
I love you, super friends.
We have lots of listeners who are also in show business.
That's true. We do.
So.
Well, yeah, we can't be arrogant about this. Listeners, stupid us. Okay. Interesting enough, usually on a show, the showrunner is the person who is usually the person that helped create the show, man or woman who created the show. And they are usually listed in the credits as executive producer. That is not the case with Disney Plus. They are listed as head writer, not executive producer.
Do you think that is because they don't have the EP credit? They have a lower credit?
I think it's because Kevin Feige is the EP.
I was going to say, or do you think they did that because they're trying to put this into layman's terms for people like my mom, for example, who doesn't know what a showrunner is?
No, I don't think so at all. Now, again, I'm Wikipedia.
This is all conjecture on our part.
Wikipedia. We'll have to pay attention to that for episode 4 because we're talking about WandaVision 1 through 3. But that stuck out to me in episode 1.
Let's be very real. She's running the room. Kevin Feige's not running the room.
She is running the room. But I would say that, you know what? I would be very curious, and any of our listeners, please let us know down in the comments. I'd be very curious, did Jack Schaefer get to go to set?
Interesting.
Because a showrunner goes to set and gets...
But they shot and gets a lot of this in COVID.
Doesn't matter. Star Trek Discovery shot through COVID as well. They shot season 4, the one that just finished.
Yep.
The showrunner is Michelle Paradise. Mm-hmm. Michelle Paradise was in the writer's room. Michelle Paradise was on set, and Michelle Paradise was watching on set virtually.
Yeah.
Because I watched the behind the scenes
thing. From Video Village or from her
room. And then Michelle Paradise is the final say on edits. That's a showrunner's job. So
I just brought that up because I know that So not all writers are brought out to set in COVID.
And again, we know because we have a friend who works on who worked on Ms. Marvel.
Yep.
That Disney is kind of running these Disney Plus Marvel shows a little differently
than a traditional TV show.
I think Jack Schaefer only had control of the writers, and once the scripts were written, they were done.
And I would say maybe she went to, I'm assuming her pronouns are she. Maybe she went to set, or there had to have been a writer on set.
But I bet you there had to have been. I bet you for the edits, Kevin Feige had final say.
Yes, because these are also these shows, which is something people have repeatedly pointed out to me, which I think is very fascinating, are produced by theatrical. They are not produced by the television.
Yes.
Which is also why they have a gazillion dollar budget.
Let's give the credit. So episode 1 is called Film Before a Live Studio Audience, directed by Matt Shankman, written by Jack Schaefer. Episode 2 is Don't Touch That Dial, directed by Matt Shankman with Gretchen Enders. And then episode 3 is Now in Color, directed by Matt Shankman and written by Megan McDonald. Really cool that all ladies so far. I would bet, like a feature, Matt Shankman is directing every single episode.
Yes, I would assume so. Also, when you think about it again, that a lot of this production was done in COVID, and you can definitely tell because they definitely shot in LA.
They shot in June. Yeah.
It makes sense to keep your pod as small as possible.
Well, and we bring
also that, for streaming, they do that very often.
Bring that up because in episode 1, the exterior of the episode 1 house is a house that we have seen used on, it's on Warner Brothers.
A billion things.
Yeah. And also, you'll notice that sometimes he goes to City Hall in a couple episodes. That is the same City Hall that Adam West runs out of in Batman 66.
Yeah.
Also on Warner Brothers.
If you're familiar with Los Angeles, there's a very Pasadena Burbank look.
Yes.
To when they are doing exteriors that are not on a lot.
The episode 2 house, I think, is in Pasadena.
I think so too.
Because that's a real street. But I don't know for certain. I would bet they filmed this on Warner Brothers.
It looks like Warner Brothers.
Even the interiors, I bet they used a soundstage in Warner Brothers.
If they were using enough of the exteriors, they would have. Now, I know we haven't even started to talk about
it. We haven't even reviewed this thing.
There might be some people who are like, but Warner Brothers is DC and Disney and Marvel. So I just want to like really quick.
Oh, yes.
Yes, they are owned by different entities, but you can rent out shooting and studio space and facilities and costumes and rooms from, this is behind the curtain.
Show business talk.
From any other studio around the world, right? You could shoot at Pinewood.
Just like renting an apartment.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Our good friend Ryan Sands, who's been on the podcast before, he worked on Runaways.
And they shot on Paramount.
And they shot on Paramount, where our good friend Adam worked. So that was like a really fun Venn diagram. Mm-hmm. So it happens a lot. So
they switcheroo all the time.
It's just a matter of, can you pay the rental cost? So just if anyone is a little confused about why that might happen.
Another thing about it is what sound stages are available. Because on The Code, the CBS show that I worked on, we shot in New York because there were literally at the time when we were starting no available sound stages in Los Angeles
for the days that you guys were scheduled to be
in 2018. Yeah, to shoot. So we had to, like, is there anything in New York? And there was. And since the show was based in New York.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about these goddamn fucking episodes.
Yes. Okay. So in episode one, Marshall Matt Dillon runs into the, he rides into the planes. He meets with Festus. He has a little bit of a flirtation with Miss Kitty.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's Bonanza, Ashley.
I don't know the theme song.
Ba-da. No, we're not getting there yet. Oh, by the way, fun fact, we're going to park this right here. We do have the very first extra thought of the day for the end. We have an amazing patron. We have a person, so we will get to that. But we got to, we are, how many minutes are we into this thing?
I don't know.
We are 10 minutes in. We have not said a single thing about WandaVision. Ashley, let's start.
The wig lines are really hard.
Okay, let's talk about all three episodes.
Yes.
Overall thoughts. What do you, just overall, what would you, I'm not asking for a ranking right now. We'll get to that, you know, one out of five Bregos. But, you
know, all the Marvel TV shows, I think it's definitely the first one on Disney.
by the way, intern Brego has now currently walked into the room.
Yes. He's earning his keep. And he's tried to flee and Jason is now holding him.
Brego, what do you have to say in the mic? Love it.
So longtime listeners of Geek History Lesson or anyone who's ever listened to any of our X episodes know I am not the biggest Scarlet Witch fan. I am a big proponent of the Vision, though, which is why I did the Vision episode that you just listened to, probably, maybe, who knows, what is time. I was not thrilled when
People
could be listening out of order. They could be listening back and
forth.
That's
true. I mean, it has been released by this point.
Yes. Yeah. I just mean I don't want to assume everyone is listening concurrently.
Why the hell not?
Because time is crazy, man.
Time is a donut.
It is a donut. It's a flat circle.
Yeah. All right.
So I was not thrilled when I learned that this was going to be our first foray into Disney Plus Marvel instead of
Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah, who are two characters that I'm just warmer on in general.
And also Falcon Winter Soldier was going to be basically an hour. They were going to be like 44 minute episodes.
Yes. And these are half hours and they're shot like a comedy. And it's not that I don't enjoy comedy, but I'm more of a drama gal.
And it's also the reason why they were able to flip, because like they had just had less time. So they were able to finish it
exactly.
faster.
Exactly. Yeah. And they shot in Los Angeles.
Well, they actually,
which is a huge part of it as well. Where the actors live.
Yes. And Falcon Winter Soldier was shooting in Puerto Rico, I think.
They're shooting all over. Yeah. And they were shooting in London. Yeah. I think they were at Pinewood. Anyway. So about 10, 15 minutes into the first episode of WandaVision, I looked at Jason and I was like, this is good.
Yeah, I said the same thing.
And what I've learned in the previous episodes is, although the gag of it is not there anymore, we know it's going to be a different genre every episode. We know things are going to move quickly and there's going to be a little bit of a reveal. There's a very strong tone going through this as we see Wanda and Vision. Is he back alive? Who knows? Probably not. Living out their suburban fantasy dream until the little cracks show up. And sometimes they show up in the form of Wanda acting strangely, in the form of the aspect ratio or the shooting style changing, which I think is very cool, or in the form of some of their cohabitants of this not Pleasant Hill location saying things that are a little too revealing.
They name it, but I don't remember what it is.
It's like Westville or Westlake.
It's like West Pine or something like that.
It was literally at the end of the previous episode and I don't remember.
I just don't care. Westview.
Thank you so much. And here's the big spoiler. By the end of the third episode, we have progressed so far, not only through television styles, but through all the rules of domesticity that we've been married, we've had dinner parties, we've had fights, and now we have babies. Yeah. And I got the only thing I wanted from this show, which was the babies.
You got Billy and Tommy for the Young Avengers.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the episode, episode one is clearly, it has a lot of inspiration of Bewitched, but it also was taking some gags from, I noticed gags from Beverly Hillbillies. I noticed gags from Andy Griffith.
I Love Lucy, obviously.
There were some I Love Lucy gags. The first episode is definitely Bewitched. The second episode is where it gets more into the Andy Griffith, Beverly Hillbillies, kind of Addams Family kind of style. And then episode three is very much Brady Bunch.
Look, I've never even seen an episode of the Brady Bunch, and even just the house.
The house is very Brady.
Very Brady Bunch. Because
it's a very Brady vision.
And I will say this.
It's a very Brady house. That could be
one of the guest stars that we had in episode one is Deborah Jo Rupp, who is an incredible actress. You probably know her from playing Kitty on That 70s Show. She's so, so good. I'm so glad we put her in the 50s episode instead of sticking her in the 70s episode, which would have been so on the nose. But her and Catherine Hahn, who plays Agnes, who's kind of the most commonly reoccurring neighbor.
Yes.
Are two of my favorite guest stars to date.
Well, Ashley, I'm gonna interrupt this podcast right now because the greatest guest star that they've had in the first three episodes is Randy Oglesby.
I knew you were gonna bring him
because up. Because as soon as he talked, he's
literally the second he opened his mouth.
Yeah, he is Dr. Nielsen, which I think is a definite take on the Nielsen ratings. Mm-hmm. But he is the doctor in the top of episode three. And as soon as he said his first line, I turned to Ashley and I said, "Do you know who that is?" And she was like, I explained who it was, and Ashley still didn't know who it was. All you deep cut Star Trek fans are gonna love this because Randy Oglesby played Degra in season three of Star Trek Enterprise. He is in like 20 episodes of Star Trek Enterprise.
He's the Zindi.
He is the Zindi yeah. who befriends Captain Archer yeah. throughout the Zindi arc. He is a fantastic actor. It kind of just surprised me because I was like, oh boy, you got old. But he's such a good actor and he's been in a billion things. He never changes his voice even when he's on
Star
Trek.
That's just his voice. It is a murderer's row of guest stars. Talent.
Yeah.
I love, her name is Tiana. I don't have my phone pulled up. The woman who is playing Geraldine / this is not a spoiler, it was announced, Tiana Paris / Monica Rambeau. She is amazing.
I cannot find her. I'm looking through Wikipedia and I cannot find her actual name.
Tiana Paris is her name.
Tiana Paris.
She is amazing.
She's really good. And they've already, she's going to be grown up Monica Rambeau in Captain Marvel too.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
She's also a sword agent.
They put her in these horrible barn door eyeshadow moments in the last episode, but I want to go back and talk about the first episode because the first episode is called Live Before Studio Audience.
Film before a live studio audience.
Apparently, they did shoot segments of it in front of a live studio audience. And I will say, this is kind of my only real criticism about the show because I'm quite warm on it, and I'm pleased to have been proved wrong and that this is a great show and a great start, I think, to the Disney Plus Marvel Universe. You can really see the difference between Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany in this first episode. I think she warms up a little bit in the next two episodes, but they're doing longer takes. It's shot more like a play. It's shot much more theatrically.
And because they did shoot those live as plays, yeah.
Absolutely. And there are modern shows that have done that as well.
Mom does that still.
Mom does that. Yeah. Frasier did that. That's not as modern, but you can just tell that Paul Bettany has done a lot of theater work and has a lot of training. Like, Paul Bettany is, I know it's called WandaVision, but, like, Paul Bettany steals every episode. Like, mm-hmm. he is so freaking
like
good.
Like, he stole Wanda's heart.
Like, he did. And then she stole his life. Mm-hmm. But he's really good. Everything he does is delightful to me throughout this. And then poor, poor Wanda with those hard, hard wigs.
Well, I got to give a lot of, for me, I got to give a lot of love to Jack Schaefer because... Mm-hmm. To me, for this, it's really hard, since it is a serialized story, to talk about each episode separately, but we can as much as possible. The tone is astounding.
Mm-hmm.
They are matching all of these tones very, very well. And they're redressing a lot of old classic jokes very, very well. And it's so, and they're doing such a good job of it because when those old classic sitcoms are funny, they make you laugh out loud. And I'll be honest with you, episode one and episode two made me laugh out loud, mm-hmm. at least in one spot. Like, I love the flying saucers gag, which I think is very funny. Uh-huh. I also think it's a wink towards Sword. You know, by the way, we should mention a friend of ours, Jeremy Simser, mm-hmm. drew the storyboards.
Yes, he did.
For this episode for the entire series. And in episode three, when they're painting the baby's room,
uh-huh.
the paint that they're using is Simser colors.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, yeah. I tweeted out the other day, and I was like so happy for him that he got into
Jeremy
the show.
Jeremy is amazing. He's done a lot of work on the Arrowverse. He's worked on Deadpool. He's worked with Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. Go give him a follow. He was Canadian boy.
He was, I think you can find him, Jeremy Simser, on on Twitter.
But I believe so.
He was Supergirl storyboard artist, I think, for like their first four seasons. Mm-hmm. And then he got into movies.
Yeah.
And so now he's been working on Marvel. He also did Falcon and Winter Soldier, too, so mm-hmm. is from what he's told me. But, you know, they're doing such a really good job at matching the tones. And you talked about Paul Bettany compared to
Elizabeth Olsen. And it's not a dig at her. I think she's doing a good job. I just think he is like stealing the show.
I thought she was good in episode 3. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with
you. Which is a much more modern tone compared to 1 and 2.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Sorry.
I think she's going to get better as the tone. Look here. When you're talking about, you know, movies and stuff like that, there are actors that are dependent on film editors. Mm-hmm. And there are actors.
And that is what editors are hired to do.
And there are actors that started in theater or started in improv, and they don't need an editor to be good. Mm-hmm. And Paul Bettany is a theatrical actor, and Elizabeth Olsen is a film actor. And I think from what I saw in the first two episodes of WandaVision, I'm like, oh, yeah, she needs the edit sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, she needs the edit to, like, find her best take.
I also believe this is her first TV show, if I'm not mistaken. So it could have just been her getting used to the breakneck pace that television works at compared to movies.
But well, I don't know about that. They shot a lot of these like movies.
I just mean, even though
they're spending $15 million an episode on
it is, and this is not like shooting a network show, but it, I mean, compared to an Avengers movie, this has to be like really quick by comparison.
I would say so. I would bet. They shoot WandaVision only because of the time. I would bet they shoot WandaVision in 8 days.
I was going to say more than a week for sure.
Yeah, but I wouldn't give it more than that.
So just for people's reference, what would an average show shoot? Like Arrow averaged 7 or 8 days, I believe.
Arrow and Flash shoots in 7 days. Mm-hmm. That's 7 business days, basically.
Yeah, so like weekends and holidays, obviously.
Depending on certain shows, Lost would always shoot in 10 days. Mm-hmm.
But Lost is dependent on location a lot of mm-hmm. the times.
Starter Discovery, I know, shoots in 12. Mm-hmm. They shoot in 12 days because they were a very special effects heavy show.
Yeah. I think Game of Thrones got up to 14 toward the end.
They were up at 15 towards the end.
Yeah.
It all depends on how expensive your show is, how complicated your show is.
I just wanted to bring that up because shooting for 8 days or even 9 days is not too far outside of the norm.
We had 8 days on the code.
Yeah.
But we were a 44-minute show. This is only a 30-minute show.
Yes. I do think the shorter format is to its advantage, though.
I agree.
Can we talk a little bit about some of the Easter
egg-y
stuff? Like, can we talk about, like, S.W.O.R.D. and the Bee-Man and, like, some of the Marvel Universe breaking into the realities of the show?
Yeah, do it, man.
Okay, so I spoiled it by looking on IMDb because I always want to know the actors' names and I want to know if I've seen them in anything before. And I thought Tiana Paris was so beautiful. And the wigotry work, they did them so dirty. They didn't give them enough budget. They have the hardest wigs. They put her in the worst wig when we meet her and she's so beautiful. And that could just be, that's usually just a budget thing. That's no dig on the people doing that, the hair and makeup work. But
I got to say, I do love in episode 3 that they brought a lot of the sort of funky black neighbor, which is a trope that you saw in the 60s.
Absolutely,
think about the Jeffersons, think about Sanford and Son. I love that they added that to her performance. If you notice, a lot of her...
And then when she grounds and becomes a real person, she literally becomes a dramatic actor in front of your eyes.
When you, because a lot of her stuff is she's like, that date was so funky, fresh. And you're like, what a cliche.
But also, her blue and white outfit, if people will remember, Monica Rambeau is the original Captain Marvel.
Yes.
It's not Carol Danvers.
Mm-hmm. And the original female Captain Marvel.
Yes, yeah. That's, thank you. And her outfit there, I thought was very evocative of her Captain Marvel comic book costume as well.
I think, isn't her like later codename Photon or something like that?
I'm not sure.
All right.
We will do a Geekestria lesson on her someday, and then I will tell you.
Sure.
But, so I was looking, I wanted to know Tiana Paris's name because I thought she was really fabulous. And so I spoiled that they are S.W.O.R.D. agents.
Well, it's so funny. You found that out as we were watching
the first episode.
And it's funny, a good friend of ours, Jonathan London, pointed out to me that he said that if at the end of the first episode, we pull out and mm-hmm. we see somebody is watching the show on a television.
Yes, yeah.
And apparently you see like a coffee mug and it has the S.W.O.R.D. logo on it.
And then Monica...
Which I didn't catch the first time around.
I did not either.
Yeah.
Monica later has the S.W.O.R.D. symbol on her necklace.
Yep.
And in the second episode, when we start to get little Wizard of Oz plays with colors, Wanda finds a sword, Iron Man color palleted toy helicopter outside. If people aren't familiar, SWORD is another secret organization in the Marvel 616 universe.
Like SHIELD.
That works alongside SHIELD. It's an acronym. You can Google it. It's a dumb forced acronym that doesn't make any
sense.
Don't
worry
about it.
They're basically the SHIELD that deals with aliens.
That deals with space and aliens and things like that.
And to be honest with you, it would not surprise me if in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I don't think it's, I think it's actually a pretty good idea.
They're going to replace SHIELD.
They're just
going to
replace SHIELD. Yeah.
All right. I don't have an issue with that either.
Let's wrap this up real quick. We got a bunch of other stuff and we're probably going to be talking for another 15 minutes, guys. So don't worry about that. I want to talk. I want to hear your answers for Ashley. What do you think this show does very well?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think this show doesn't do well?
I think the show plays with genre really well. I think it breaks away from what we are used to seeing in Marvel television and the MCU in general very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gives us just enough. I think the way they meter out the way they're disseminating their information, I think, is very smart. It's very Lostian in a lot of ways, actually. The thing I think it doesn't do well, it's not new user friendly.
No.
If you are not familiar with the MCU, every fucking thing that's ever been in the MCU, or if you are not already familiar with Wanda or Vision or the Twins or House of M, it's not here to hold your hand. A friend of mine, Adam, who I mentioned earlier, sent me a text message and said, so this takes place before Vision dies? And I know that that's the gag of the show.
And it's part of the mystery of the show, how is Vision around?
But it doesn't do, it's not good for somebody who is a casual fan.
Like my mom.
Yes, like most people, like most of the MCU viewing audience. Do you have a different answer to any of those questions?
I was going to say that the strength is the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And the strength is the tone. I like, you brought up Lost because I said that after episode one,
yes,
that this reminds me a lot of like Lost. That is also the weakness of the show. The weakness of
but
the show.
But you love Lost, Jason. How could you say that?
I do, and I will defend the final episode until my dying days. But this show completely relies on the ending. If the ending does not deliver, this entire show falls apart. And to be honest with you,
it's going to be the ultimate episode and the penultimate episode is what the show's going to live or die on.
And to be honest with you, man, if they land this ending, this is going to be my favorite Marvel thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be like, man, everything Marvel should be a television show now. Screw those movies that are kind of boring and homogenous.
I mean, you're a big proponent of television right now.
I am, because television is so much better than movies right now. Mm-hmm. The writing in television right now, go watch The Queen's Gambit and tell me that's bad writing. You're an idiot if you do. I'm sorry.
Although we did just see One Night in Miami, which is also very good. Highly recommend.
Sure. That is true. Also Independent.
Also a play. Yeah.
But, you know, my big worry, and I won't know this until this show ends, my big worry about these Marvel television shows is that they're just essentially giant prologues for the next movie.
But you are exactly right. That's 100% mm-hmm. what they are, because it's just like tie-in novels. They can't change that much. However, mm-hmm. knowing that, I think that the way WandaVision is set up is such an intelligent way to spin your wheels.
Agreed.
Like, if you can't actually change anything, what a fun way to explore these characters in this
Agreed.
World versus... Now this is my concern about Falcon Winter Soldier, having seen WandaVision and enjoyed it, at least the first three episodes, is that that's going to feel much more like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. felt or Daredevil felt, like just another step in the universe.
You don't know. Again,
and I've been delighted by what I've
you
seen.
Know, and I've said this in a couple of places, but I have a theory about WandaVision that I have a feeling that she is in some sort of version of Pleasant Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And she was placed there by S.W.O.R.D. to heal because she's mourning the Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vision is not, she has created the Vision. I think everything that's happening is a reality altering yeah. powers. And this is her villain turn.
Yeah.
That this will turn her into the villain. And I'm putting money on this right now. I bet that either Benedict Cumberbatch or Benedict Wong, a lot of Benedicts.
Maybe both.
Will be in the final episode, since they've said that WandaVision ties into Doctor Strange, that ties into Spider-Man.
By the way, if people have never heard Benedict Wong's actual speaking voice,
it kind of throws you off.
He is as British as fuck as Benedict Cumberbatch. He's just English sounding.
He did it in What We Do in the Shadows, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
But most of the characters he plays, he is affecting a Chinese accent or a sort of, a Mongolian accent, I suppose, for Genghis Khan. And I think a lot of people, just because we all work in stereotypes, assume that that's how he actually speaks. But no, he's like British.
Ashley, on a scale of 1 to 5, Brego the intern cats.
Man.
5 being the best, 1 being the worst. What would you give the first 3 episodes of WandaVision?
Okay, so just the first 3 episodes.
Of course, we haven't seen the rest of them.
I know. But I...
Oh, wait. Let's we got to put a pause on this. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
What? I want to ask you this question right now.
Sure.
We got a pretty big name drop in episode 3 of Pietro. Will we see any version of Quicksilver? What do you think? Yes or no?
I think we will.
Which one do you think we'll see? Do you think we'll see Aaron Taylor Johnson, or do you think we'll see the gentleman from the
X-Men
movies?
Evan Peters.
Both great actors, by the way.
Evan Peters was rumored to have been spotted on set.
I heard that as well. Oh,
so
too early.
Thank you so much for tuning into Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. He's Jason.
No!
That would have been so funny. And then you just inserted Elizabeth Olsen going, no. And the episode ended.
Ashley, I'm sorry. I think have I?
You've muted me.
Have you been muted this entire time?
No, you just muted.
Oh.
Hello. You unmuted me.
Oh, I was so scared.
I would have been able... I'm wearing headphones. Nobody can see me. I would have been able to... Oh. Okay, so...
Listeners, you are really getting to see how the sausage is made.
So, my best one, no.
Wanda is really screwing with this podcast.
She knows I don't like her.
Oh, my God.
Except when George Perez shows
her. Wait. Real sauce here.
Yeah.
I know we're recording this live for the patrons.
Uh-huh.
Did I have you muted the entire time?
No. You didn't.
Okay, I'm very scared.
I wouldn't have let us go for like 20 minutes. Jesus. 30 minutes now.
Okay.
So here's
Pietro
my
talk.
Pietro Pietro corner.
That doesn't work.
Pietro spotlight. What I would really like to
see. We're pushing the Pietro.
What I think he's the cooler of the twins. What I think would be interesting is if in one episode, it was Aaron Taylor Johnson, and then in the next episode, it was Evan Peters.
Because I
do not think he's coming back. I don't think he's coming back to the MCU.
No.
Also heard rumors that Aaron Taylor Johnson is notoriously very expensive and a somewhat
kind of difficult
personality to work with. I think he only signed on to do Quicksilver for Age of Ultron because I don't think he wanted to stay in that universe. Now, that's a lot of me conjecturing and hearsay and all that.
And I've heard Evan Peters is like Flynn for anything.
Yes. Also, he's pretty good on pose, mm-hmm. season one as well. Mm-hmm. So that would be my preferred way. And I think that would do a great job playing with genre and playing with time. I do think we should see him since we're to borrow a James Bond phrase, since we're in the business of resurrection, why not see him?
I think the name check is foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
I really think I agree with you. I think it'd be cool if we saw both of them.
Why not?
Yeah.
Especially because Disney now owns both versions of them. So we could literally see, like for me, the next episode is going to be the 80s sitcom. Mm-hmm. Let's see him in his, what's the X-Men Go to the Mall movie? Age of Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
Let's see him in his Apocalypse outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a pinball game, holding Tommy,
and then save Aaron Taylor Johnson for later.
Yeah, I say why not?
All right, cool.
Why not?
I'm down for that.
Oh yeah. So can I do my rating now?
Oh yeah, sorry. I'm just getting the episode. Quick.
Okay, so it's just based on the first 3 episodes, and I say that with a big caveat because, like Jason said, a lot of my feelings about the series as a whole is going to depend on the ending. This series surprised and delighted me in ways I didn't expect, and I look forward to it every week. I think it's the best thing Disney Plus has made so far.
I agree.
So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. In terms,
holy cow!
I really like it.
All right.
I like it a lot. So Jason, what are you going to give?
I'm going to give it a four.
That's a much more respectable level edit, right?
It's really well done.
It's fine. Yeah,
it's not perfect, and if they stick that landing, it's going to be one of the best things Marvel has ever made.
Yeah, for sure.
And on that note, there it is. You know, guys, we mentioned earlier that, you know, we always wanted to do... Oh, too quiet. Oh, sorry, it went away. Man, Wanda is screwing with us.
It's okay, you got to read the other comment first anyway.
I don't know if I can play The Price is Right and look at the
you
comment.
You can't.
Oh, boy. What am I going to do, Ashley?
I don't know, Jason. You're the producer.
I have no way to
I
do this.
I just threw you under that bus. There's no extras, extraneous.
I somehow just muted me again. Guys,
I don't know. This is a haunted ass recording
session. Guys, I have no idea what is going on with the soundboard right in this episode. Now. So I'm going to say right now,
we also had some trouble plugging the mics in before we started recording this episode.
Oh man. Okay. So there could be technical difficulties all over this episode.
You'll let us know in the comments.
Oh man. Everybody, I'm sorry.
I think it's been fine.
Everybody, I'm really sorry. I because every once in a while I keep looking at the board and our mic is muted for no reason.
Well,
and I'm not touching the board.
It's raining in Los Angeles today, so who knows what's happening.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Wanda has really cursed this episode of GHL. This is the most cursed episode of GHL Extra.
Ever.
So everyone out there, I'm sorry. There might be points where we're just randomly muted. And if that's the case, I think hopefully you can hear us on the other mic. I don't know.
We're pretty loud. You and I are pretty loud folk.
All right, so we will come up with a better solution for this next time.
Yeah, yeah. What we'll do is we'll have it prepared on another screen.
Yeah, so we'll have to have it on another screen. But we do have the extra thought of the day. This is the very first one. Again, on the comments of this episode, you can go to Patreon, down in the comments. Leave us, we want to end the episode with your extra thought of the day. It's better to leave it pretty evergreen. If you're gonna talk about something that's, you can talk about this. Like, if you want to give your WandaVision thoughts, don't give a WandaVision review. I probably never.
It's because
that one.
We record things out of order. Yep. We record things in advance, so the more evergreen you can make it, the better. That's
all. The more likely we're gonna pick it. I'm only ever gonna pick one. This one comes from the very first honor here is the Batman Who Points,
Woo!
Who says, "I draw, ink, and color while listening to the show." When you want to color a picture, make sure you draw the gosh darn thing big enough to have space to put your colors in, or else it becomes a mess of grays. And I thought that was an excellent piece of life advice for anybody.
Also, what a great comic-related piece of advice for all of us.
Yes.
Shout out to the Batman Who Points for that.
The Batman Who Points. He's a new patron. He's a new patron.
And assuming you're... pronouncer he him and shout out to any other artists who make their art while they're listening. We are so flattered to be part of your creative process.
So Batman Who Points, thank you for being the very first extra thought of. By the way, it took a long time for us to figure out what the acronym was.
Yeah, we were like, what is that?
The extra thought of the day. That's what we're gonna call it. That's what it is right now.
That's what it is now.
It's
E-T-O-T-D.
Oh boy.
E-T-O-T-D.
This has been a hell of an episode.
We're professionals.
Oh god. The rain has screwed everything. I'm blaming Wanda.
Yeah, me too.
So everybody out there, this was a fun episode.
This was a lot of
fun. I hope you can hear half of it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really worried about this episode.
If not, just like call up Stevie and he'll troubleshoot for you.
Oh boy. I'm releasing this no matter what. So I'm sorry, everybody. Nobody might be listening at this point.
Oh boy.
So thank you so much for your support. You're extra awesome patrons, and your support is what makes this podcast happen. And thank you so much. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And goodbye, super friends.